All right, here we go. Today we're going to look at Job 29 through 31, and our verses are covered in Job 31. Hey, Miss Betty, I just saw you sitting over there. How you doing? You slipped in.
Okay, I was here,
yeah. I like sunny. And I wasn't, was I?
No, I'm watching you.
All right, the lesson this week is What Do I Do Now? Is the name of it. And we're going to focus on, it says, what's distinctive about living by Christian ethical standards? So, what is ethics? What is ethic? What's being ethical? What do you think it is? I looked it up in the dictionary. Just to be, you know.
Ethics and morals.
Morals. It says, values relating to human conduct with respect to right and wrong of certain actions, and the good and the bad of the motives and results of such actions. So it's just about being a good person. Right? Your ethics. How good are you? How you react to things. Right and wrong. Think that our ethics are all pretty high in here, because we would run from doing something wrong way before we would something good, right? So let's talk about some old TV shows that really demonstrate family values and ethical standards. First one I'm going to say, Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith. I thought of a couple of others, but y'all might know some even older than what I know.
Leave it to Beaver.
Father Knows Best. You know, I thought about that. That the name of that show. And what does that tell you? To listen, the Father Knows Best. What else? Are there some others?
I'm thinking more your time. The Bill Cosby Show.
Yep. That was a good one. Because it focused on family and doing the right thing. Huh?
Lucy.
I love Lucy. As silly as it was, yeah. It was all about doing the right thing.
Something lifted you up.
Yep. So those are, and I tell you what, now, whew, I don't even know how to describe what comes on TV these days, I tell you. Filth. That's pretty much. And it just seems like they've got a... There was a commercial for one yesterday. God, what was it? About going to camp. It was about going to camp, you know, when you were kids and stuff, and how much fun you had. And back in the day, kids did have fun. You know, it was good, clean, honest fun. And now... It's a show. Some show's going to start coming on, and it's about going to camp. But it ain't about the good. It's about, you know, the adding a little bad stuff in there to it too. So it just ruins the whole idea. They just take a good thing and twist it till it's not even recognizable.
Because they're after ratings.
Yes.
And they think the more shock value, the more
ratings. Either got to have way too much sex involved, or either it's got to be so gory that you got to look through your fingers to watch it if you're going to try to watch it. So when we compare many of today's media choices to shows from the good old days, there is no comparison, is there? Just none. None. That I don't even call them TV shows anymore. So how do families go about choosing what they will watch these days? I don't know that I ever remember that it was necessary for Mama to have, like, viewing standards, you know, because the things that we watched, they were good. I mean, Captain Kangaroo, and, you know, I remember that. And but what about your grandkids when they come to visit or whatever? Do you have, you know, I'm sure we may think that something that their parents think is okay to watch, we may still not think it's okay to watch. You know what I mean? So this girl at work that I work with, she's divorced and she has two children. And they were going to visit their dad this weekend, and she told me that She has difficulties because she's very strict about what they can watch and the amount of time they watch it, and I mean even the amount of time they play their little video games, you know, the whole, she's very into all that. And then they come home from his house and they've been, oh mama, guess what we got to watch, you know, so she can't control even what her ex-husband does with his own children. You know, he lets them, and he probably does it just because he's trying to be, you know, the one, the fun one. So she struggles with that. So grandkids are, you know, people that are divorced even have difficulties with the same, you know, they still, the kids still belong to them, but they each have different values. That may be why they're divorced. So when's the last time that you did a self-check of your own ethics? Do you ever think, I think it's just second nature for us to just, to have good ethics. We try to do the right thing every time. So let's look back at the definition. Values relating to human conduct with respect to right and wrong of certain actions. That came from the dictionary. So what are your ethical standards? Today's world isn't concerned with ethics anymore. It just, nobody cares. Not anymore. It's all about what feels good anymore. And like what you said, how much shock value they can get out of something. It's difficult, very difficult, to be a standalone among your peers when it comes to ethical standards. Because the kids coming up today, they don't have any. You know, they don't. They don't have respect. John talks about, like, in the neighborhood when we were growing up, and, you know, you go out at, when the sun, come on in, Miss Lois. Hello. How are you today?
Good.
And go out. He said, you know, they got to go out in the summertime. Go out when the sun came up, and when the street lights came on, they had to be home, and they'd be back and forth to get something to eat or whatever. But he knew that if he did anything and a neighbor saw it, that his grandmama would find out. You know, because that's the way it was. They were just as much policing you as your own family was. And now people don't even know their neighbors like they used to anymore.
One time I played hooky, my grandmother knew it before I got home.
Ooh, somebody told on you, didn't they?
I was saying.
So, yeah.
That doesn't happen today.
And he said he remembers, you know, that the neighbors, they'd get on to you in a heartbeat just as quick as your own family would, just to try to make sure that you did right and behaved right.
I didn't want to say nothing to the kids, though. You better not say nothing to us.
That's true.
Ooh. John said something, I probably told you all this before, but it's been a couple of years ago, but there was some, like, junior high age. I think those are the scariest right now. Junior high age kids walking home from school one afternoon, and they were coming by our house, and golly, one of them was just, he had the worst mouth. He was cussing and, you know, just in regular conversation. And John said something to him, you know, about watch your mouth, boy, or, you know, something just... And man, you just wouldn't believe what he said to John. As big a guy as John is, but that's just no respect. No respect for your elders, because to them, John's an elder, you know, and especially he's a big elder. but they don't care anymore. They have no fear for repercussion or anything. So, it's difficult to be a standalone among your peers. Think about, and now it's easy for us, because I don't have a problem standing up for my integrity or my ethics. But younger people these days, it's very difficult. So anything we can do to help encourage them to not be afraid to stand alone among their peers would be a good thing. So Proverbs 31 is a standard for godly women. And my commentary says that Job 31 is great directions for living as a godly man. So let's look at Job 31. The subject for the first verses, the title is called Be Honest and Faithful. And we're going to look at chapter 31 of Job, and it's verses 5 through 6, and then we're going to skip to 9 and 10. And this is Job, and he's defending himself some more. He says, verse 5, "Have I lied to anyone or deceived anyone? Let God weigh me on the scales of justice, for he knows my integrity." And then 9 and 10, "If my heart has been seduced by a woman, or if I have lusted for my neighbor's wife, then let my wife belong to another man. Let other men sleep with her." So that's what he's trying to say is, I hadn't done anything, but if it's true, then I want these things to happen. So even though Job's friends insisted that he must have sinned, Job continues to rebuke and refute that he has done anything wrong. Because back in the day, remember, we've talked about that if you had all these troubles come on you, probably something a lot less than what Job had, because I think Job had everything happen to him that could possibly happen to him. But if you had anything happen to you, you had done something to bring God's wrath on you.
That's so, after a Jehovah Witness this week. She was one of the heads at the bank, the whatever loan officer. And she was saying that all the bad things that happened to you were because you were a sinner.
What'd you tell her?
I told her that the bad things were God letting the devil test me, and that it wasn't because I had sinned, and that God would see me through it.
That's right. And you'd grow from it for the next.
But she was just
adamant. Mm-hmm. So they kind of live like the people in the Old Testament then, don't they?
But that just blew my mind.
How do they function if they think that everything that bad happens to them, then they spin their wheels trying to figure out what they've done to cause it instead of even getting through it? That's something. I don't know if what I'd have said to her. I don't know if I wouldn't have had the wherewithal to say the, you know, you never do in the moment. You always think about, well, I could have said that.
But I came out with it because, you know, I wasn't real happy with her waiting on me.
Yeah.
In the first place. And then
She brought that up.
And she brought that because I had said that what was going on in my life was God's will, you know.
Yeah.
She just let me have it.
Whew.
And I let her have it back.
Good for you.
I'm surprised you discuss it in the workplace.
Well, see, I brought it up first, so
that opened the door. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, to demonstrate his impeccable life, Job began to run down a list of possible sins. And those are the verses that we just looked at. So, what are some things or occurrences that would color a person's integrity? What are some things that would color it? And I wrote, like, being unfaithful, lying and stealing, gossiping. What's some other things?
Doing dishonest stuff in the workplace.
Dishonest, yep. Being dishonest, just period, being dishonest. How do we stay honest with God regarding our behavior? How do we stay honest with God?
Ask Lord for guidance, pray for guidance, wisdom.
Forgiveness. Talk to him. Have a relationship with him. Have you ever been ashamed of your actions? Yes. Zayda, I saw you look up. Have you ever been ashamed of your actions? Yes.
Because we do things on the spur of the moment and don't realize that was the wrong thing to do.
Don't realize the ramifications. But at the time, it felt like the right thing to do, didn't it? Yeah. And that's just being human. You know, that's just the human. And thank goodness we don't have to feel like that lady, that we got to spend the next 2 weeks trying to figure out
what we've
done to bring this upon us. That's a heavy weight to carry. Whew. I don't know how they get well. It's like the Old Testament people. They were hills and valleys, hills and valleys. So,
they believe that their good works is what's going to get them into heaven, not their belief.
So they just do, if they do one bad thing, they do three or four good things to make up for it. Mm. Are believers today capable of living by the same type of high standards that govern Job's life? I think we are. He's the one that brought his own standards. He's the one that had the, he's the reason that he has an impeccable life to look at. So I think we are capable of it. We just have to want it and not be afraid to do it. Not be afraid to be a standalone in the world that we're living in. Let's look at be fair and merciful. And this is verses 13 through 17 in the chapter 31. And this is still Job talking. If I have been unfair to my male or female servants when they brought their complaints to me, how could I face God? What could I say when he questioned me? For God created both me and my servants. He created us both in the womb. Have I refused to help the poor or crushed the hopes of widows? Have I been stingy with my food and refused to share it with orphans? When Job recalled his fair treatment of other people in these verses, he examined how he interacted with those that who served him and those less fortunate. And he is well known for what he did. How he treated those less fortunate. He gave whatever was needed. And the widows he took care of. Because the Bible, because God's word told him to. So how do you think you treat people? How do we think we treat people? Can we talk about the way we treat people the way Job did? Is it that impeccable that we can do that? You know, he's a great, great example. So how does God treat you? How does he treat you? Since Job had set a high standard of conduct for himself, he could honestly say he truly treated others fairly. You know, he set the bar for himself, which raised the bar for others because they wanted to be like Job. He was in chapter 29. Let's just go back, because this chapter 29 is a great chapter. It was part of our background. It talks about, this is Job remembering former blessings. He says, I long for the years gone by when God took care of me, when he lit up the way before me and I walked safely through the darkness. Because that's what God does. Remember, he lights. Stormy O'Martin, she's an author, Christian author, and she wrote a book called Just Enough Light for the Step I'm On. And that's what he gives you. He lights the way. When I was in my prime, God's friendship was felt in my home. The Almighty was still with me and my children were around me. My cows produced milk in abundance and my groves poured out streams of olive oil. Those were the days when I went to the city gate and took my place among the honored leaders. The young stepped aside when they saw me, and even the aged rose in respect at my coming. The princes stood in silence and put their hands over their mouths. The highest officials of the city stood quietly, holding their tongues in respect. All who heard me praised me. All who saw me spoke well of me. For I assisted the poor in their need and the orphans who required help. I helped those without hope, and they blessed me. And I caused the widows' hearts to sing for joy. Everything I did was honest. Righteousness covered me like a robe, and I wore justice like a turban. I served as eyes for the blind and feet for the lame. I was a father to the poor and assisted strangers who needed help. I broke the jaws of godless oppressors and plucked their victims from their teeth. I thought, surely I will die surrounded by my family after a long good life. For I am like a tree whose roots reach the water, whose branches are refreshed with the dew. New honors are constantly bestowed on me, and my strength is continually renewed. Everyone listened to my advice. They were silent as they waited for me to speak, and after I spoke, they had nothing to add, for my counsel satisfied them. They longed for me to speak as people long for rain. They drank my words like a refreshing spring rain. When they were discouraged, I smiled at them. My look of approval was precious to them. Like a chief, I told them what to do. I lived like a king among his troops and comforted those who mourned. That is the Job that commanded all that respect. That's the bar that he set for himself. He's not bragging. He's just remembering that the bar he set is what brought him all those blessings, because his ethics, his morals, the way he treated people was just above reproach. And so I truly believe that the Lord tested him because he knew that Job would not fail. He knew that Job would not fail. So, since Job had set such a high standard of conduct for himself, like we just read, he could honestly say he truly treated others fairly. He wanted God to treat him the way Job treated others. So he couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand it. But we're going to talk about how he handled it anyway. So if there was a scale, oh, I'm going to put this on the board so we can... I wish I could draw, but I can't. So I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to drag this thing off. So if there's a scale, let's see. And we got human attempts. At ethical living. On one side, and we got God's standard, high standard of ethical living. It's going to be tilted, isn't it? Because it's really going to be like that. And this one's going to go up like that, don't you think? You think about the scale, like the scales of justice, you know, it's got the two things, because so I told you I couldn't draw, but you know, you got God's standard and what he expects and what we attempt to do, you know.
And that's why that little woman on the scales of justice got that blindfold on. She's blind at times.
So it's balanced. Is it balanced? Meaning our efforts measure up to God's standard. It's not, is it? It's way down. It's tilting. We're falling off. And this one's so high we've shot him up into the sky. Even though Job questioned his behavior, the reason for his current situation, what was happening to him, he still maintained a deep reverence for God. He never denied him. What did his wife do? She wanted him to tuck his tail and run. She wanted him to just blaspheme him and walk away. But in everything that happened to him, and he questioned it because of what he said about himself in 29, he's doing everything right. He's expecting to live a long, good life, have all his family around him when he dies, and look what happened to him. But he never, ever, ever questioned or maintained. He questioned it, but he never lost his reverence and his respect for God. Because you think about the people that do when something bad happens. If something like what happened to Job happened today, people would probably walk away from God. There's always room for improvement on our side. We can always work at living a better life toward other people. We can always There's always room for, you know, that's what they tell me at work. I got my review, by the way, and it was good. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, there's always room for improvement. And I got a manager that thinks that no matter how great you are, there's always something you can do just a little bit better. So, you know, that, so I said, okay, fine, I'll do that. I wasn't going to argue with him. So, but anyway, so there's always something that we can improve on in how we treat other people. And you can take small baby steps to do that. Let's look at this. Our next verse is, be focused on God. Because that's what we led into, the segue into these verses, is that Job still stayed focused and had reverence for God. In verses 24 through 28, chapter 31. Have I put my trust in money or felt secure because of my gold? Have I gloated about my wealth and all that I own? Have I looked at the sun shining in the skies or the moon walking down its silver pathway and been secretly enticed in my heart to throw kisses at them in worship? If so, I should be punished by the judges, for it would mean I had denied the God of heaven. So how focused on God would you have been able to be if exactly what happened to Job happened to you? That's what I just got. There's a lot of people in today's world that it, you know, we'd struggle. We might struggle because that it's a lot. A lot happened to Job. I don't think we can truly wrap our hands around and our minds around this everything that happened to him. And it happened all at once. It wasn't a little bit now, and he was able to get over it and recover. It was all at once. He lost everything and everyone that he considered to be his life, the life that he was living. So how was he able to keep his focus on God? How did he do that?
Praying.
What else? Just not giving in, knowing that this was God's plan. That's, you know, that just, that's hard to remember sometime when you're in a difficult situation. Even something that's not even close to the kinds of situations that Job was in. Clearly, Job held fast to his faith in God no matter what happened. And no matter how little he understood what was happening, he still never lost that faith and that reverence.
But God knew he would stay true to his faith. That's the reason he gave the devil permission to test him.
But Job didn't know he was going to stay. You know, Job didn't know that he was going to remain that focused because he didn't have a clue what was about to happen to him. But he did. He only gave honor to God and he relied solely on him. Even in the worst situation, he still was focused and remained just straight on God. Nothing else. Remembering always that God gave us Jesus will help us keep focused on God. That we don't have to do things like the Jehovah's Witness. Try to spend 2 weeks figuring out why we have some bad thing happen to us and what we did to deserve it. Because he took all that away. There was a song I heard on Christian radio the other day. And I don't know who it was by. I just heard just a little bit before I got out of the truck. But it was about, the song was about the guy realizing that he should be hanging on the tree. You know. Instead of that he, and you just remember it. We know that, and I know we don't forget it, but how often do we remind ourselves that he hung there for each and every one of us? I'd rather be without everything than be without God. And I think that that's the way we all feel. So ask yourself, does my life reflect a devotion to God? That was a good question for me. So I don't know. Do your reflection, you know, I've said this for years in Bible studies and Sunday school classes, that looking in the mirror, do you see the reflection of Jesus? Because that's what we're supposed to do. So does your life reflect your devotion to God? So I don't know sometimes for me. I want it to be. And I, you know, you always think that you're working towards maybe achieving, and then you realize that it's just a day to day to day to day process. It really is. And every day you get a, you know, we were talking about this at work the other day about how God, you know, that's, we get a new day every day, another chance to be able to be devoted and to show our devotion. So let's look at our last verses. Be compassionate and understanding. And that is going to be verses 29 and 30 and 33 through 34. It says, "Have I ever rejoiced when disaster struck my enemies or become excited when harm came their way? No, I have never sinned by cursing anyone or by asking for revenge. Have I tried to hide my sins like other people do, concealing my guilt in my heart? Have I feared the crowd or the contempt of the masses so that I kept quiet and stayed indoors?" Even there was a lot of people, even his friends, a lot, they just hated Job because of what happened to him. They just knew that he was guilty of something, and he had brought all this dilemma upon himself because he didn't stay focused on God. That's what they thought. And Job still had compassion for those people that hated him. And he didn't wish them any kind of harm because of the way they were treating him or the things that they said or the way they felt for him. He only longed for the days when people respected him. The days in chapter 29 that he talked about. So what does it mean to be compassionate? Describe an example of being compassionate. Give me an example. Somebody.
Concerned, I guess.
Concerned for somebody's welfare. What about self-centered? You don't give a flip what happens to them, right? As long as it don't happen to you, right? Yep. So that's the difference. Even though Job didn't wish anything that had happened to him on anybody else, he still cared about them and didn't want any harm to come to them. So while Job struggled with what life had handed him, he maintained his integrity and honor, and he still, after all that, drew the strength that he had from God, from the God who had caused it all. Even though, remember, we learned in our very first lesson, Job never knew. Job never knew that God is the one that brought all this on him and how it all came about. How do you check yourself in your efforts to live a godly life? How do you check yourself? How do you kind of make just, you know, make sure that you're focused on God? Be sure your behavior is grounded in your faith in God. So whatever you do, let it reflect Jesus. Does anybody have any questions, concerns, or complaints? That was a good lesson. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that.
I thoroughly enjoyed Job because it gives you an insight into what's going on in your own life.
It does. And how you can handle mm-hmm. things that are way less serious in reality than what Job went through. They may not be to you, but if Job can show us how to handle all of life's difficult situations, then God's done his job with the Bible. So